Brian didn't mention that since he did take over the apartment after us, he still gets that mail about 20 years later. It's very hard to think of a mitzvah that it's not as central as the mitzvah of chinuch. Chinuch is something that faces us no matter where we go. When we say Kriya Shema every morning, so both parashas, at least the first two parashas of Kriya Shema, focus around the significance of being mechanech children. Shinamtam levanecha, v'matatasam espenechem. When we walk past every door in our home, we touch and kiss the mezuzah. So if we stop and think for a moment what is in the mezuzah, the same parashios, v'shinamtam levanecha v'dibaritabam, v'matatamasam espenechem. We put on tefillin. Each one of the four parashas of tefillin has a reference to chinuch. V'gadata lebincha, v'shalcha bincha mocha leymar. So it's very, very hard to go anywhere within our Dalet Amos without bumping into the significance of this notion of chinuch. So I thought we would spend a little bit of time from a halachic vantage point to understand what exactly the Torah wants us to do. What are we required to do? What are we commanded to do? And then to take perhaps to a next level in terms of a little bit of hashkafa as well, a little bit of machshava, some thought as to what are some of the important messages we should walk away with from this most central mitzvah of chinuch. So yes, it's true that the idea of chinuch, of teaching our children Torah and mitzvot, is clearly a mitzvah min haTorah. It's clearly something of a Torah origin, as we quoted from the Pesukim before. Nevertheless, min haTorah, the mitzvah of chinuch, does not require of us to make our children, to convince our children to do maisa mitzvot, to actually shake a lulav, or to actually bench, or to actually daven. What chinuch min haTorah really means is, v'shinantav levanecha, to teach them. To tell them, this is what davening is, this is what Shabbos is, this is what Kashrus is. But if you think about it, the Torah itself, it doesn't highlight the fact that the children are actually supposed to be doing anything about this. So therefore, on the level of the Araisa, what chinuch really means is to inform them, to teach them, to educate, and hope for the best, that when we actually turn bar bas mitzvah, they're going to follow in our footsteps. Nevertheless, the Chachamim realize that this is not going to work for most children. I mean, maybe some children will be great, give them a great speech, and hope for the best. But the Rabban and the Chachamim realized that in order to really properly train a child, it's not enough just to talk theoretically, but you have to put things into practice. You have to actually train them to do mitzvahs, to refrain from doing averos, and that's really the mitzvah of chinuch that we're going to be focusing on today. This mitzvah midrabbanon of being mechanech our children, not just in words, but in deeds as well. Now the truth is, even though chinuch, in the sense of actions, is primarily midrabbanon, to say that it's not something that the Torah itself desires is clearly not the case. The Meshech Chochma, in his commentary in Sefer Bereishis, points out that Avraham Avinu is singled out as beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because he teaches his children, Laman Yitzav es Bonav es Beisav Acharav, he trains his children, he teaches his descendants, V'shamru derech Hashem lasas tzedakah mishpat. And Avraham Avinu not only talked to people about monotheism, not only talked to people about ethics and morality, but actually practiced it with people. V'shamru derech Hashem lasas tzedakah mishpat, that he actually went through the motions with those individuals who he's trying to teach, and that serves really as the prototype of chinuch today. So really two different types of chinuch. There's the theoretical chinuch, there's the talking to our children about the mitzvahs, and then there's the action, the hands-on dimension of chinuch, of going through the ma'aseh mitzvahs, refraining from averos together with our children. When we speak about chinuch, so one of the major questions that's always posed in the halachic world is, when does chinuch begin? At what age are we supposed to be mechanech our children? You always get those calls from those very, very, you know, excited young parents who the child is about 3 weeks old and they want to know, well, is it time to start watching Negavasa? Is it time to start being machber and basa b'cholov? I try to explain, the child hasn't had any basa yet. He's not going to have fleishiks for a long time, so relax. When does chinuch really begin? So the answer is, it depends, very safe answer. It depends on two different factors. It depends on mitzvah by mitzvah, and it depends on child by child. So in case anyone thought that we're not working with the premise of chanoch l'nar pidarko, that chinuch is individualized, so clearly this halacha tells us chinuch is very much tailored to the individual. It depends on the child, and it depends on the mitzvah. The Gemara tells us that chinuch only makes sense when the child is old enough to understand how to do the mitzvah, at least in some shape or form. For example, Chazal tell us, if you're going to give a lulav to a two-year-old, that's not considered to be chinuch. What they're probably going to do is whack their younger sibling with it, or drop the esrog. That's not a mitzvah of chinuch. To teach a child who has no idea as to what's going on, to do a quote unquote ma'isa mitzvah, it's cute, it's nice, but makes a good photo op. But as I say, thanks for a good photo op. But it's not. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about chinuch. It's not really chinuch. Chinuch means when the child is old enough to understand. So, for example, Chazal tell us when the child is old enough, hayodel in anea, he knows how to shake the lulav. Then you give him a lulav. Or when it comes to the bits of sukkah, when the child is old enough to be able to sleep through the night by himself, so that's considered to be old enough to come out to the sukkah as well. If the child wakes up every 5 minutes and is going to bother you and go back into the house, that's not called chinuch. Chinuch is when it's appropriate, when the child has a little bit of an understanding of what's going on. When the child understands a little bit about Shabbos, then they should hear Kiddush. For the six-month-old to hear Kiddush, it's nice and it's cute, but it's not so critical. I remember when my oldest child was born, so a few months before Pesach, so the first Seder night. So here I was all, you know, reared up. We got it to Lebincha. Levincha, whatever it was, the guy to Levincha, I was all excited, all ready to roll to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kedasu Chedin. So there were two technical problems. First of all, my daughter was not at all awake for the entire Seder. And number two, even if she would have been awake at the ripe old age of 3 months, she really wasn't going to have too much Derech She'elo Tshuva. So I stood over her crib and sang Avadim Hayinu. It's cute, it makes you feel good, and it's warm, and it's beautiful, and, you know, cozy, etc. But tachlis, is that really chinuch? That's not really the mitzvah chinuch. It's nice, and it's important, those things are good. But the real mitzvah chinuch is when the child reaches a little bit of an older age to be able to appreciate, to be able to do a mitzvah to some degree. So it's interesting that Chazal point out that different mitzvahs have different shiurim, have different ages in terms of the beginning of chinuch, depending, to a certain extent, on the complexity of the mitzvah itself. There are some mitzvahs that are very easy to do. Shake a lulav is not that hard. Not so bad. Sitting in the sukkah, fairly simple mitzvah. Other mitzvahs are a little bit more difficult. So as the child gets able to reach the point of that particular mitzvah, then and only then does the shiur of chinuch make sense. It's interesting, taking that model of shaking a lulav, the mitzvah of lulav is actually not really to shake the lulav. The mitzvah of lulav is really just to pick up the lulav. Once a person picks up a lulav in Esrog, he fulfilled the mitzvah lulav in Esrog. Lechatchila, they're supposed to shake it as well. So why do Chazal tell us that until the child is old enough to shake the lulav, the mitzvah of chinuch doesn't apply? What Chazal should have told us is once the child is old enough to pick it up, that's when the mitzvah of chinuch should kick in. And the answer the poskim tell us is that Chazal wanted that we should train our children to do mitzvahs properly. It's in a certain sense incorrect chinuch if we give a child a half-baked mitzvah. If we tell a child, okay, great, no problem, just pick up the lulav and put it down, you're not old enough to shake yet, that's sending a mixed message. That's sending the wrong message. We want to train our children to fulfill mitzvos lechatchila. Not that we want the child to just b'shas erchach, just, well, he was yotze. No, that's not enough. We wait until the child is old enough to know how to do mitzvahs properly before we begin the process of chinuch. Because we want to be very careful in chinuch not to send the message that, well, you can just kind of get away with a cheapened form of doing a mitzvah. We want to encourage the children to do mitzvahs, but we want to encourage the children to do mitzvahs in the correct form as well. There are actually certain mitzvahs which appear in Chazal, but there is a shir of chinuch, and we actually don't practice chinuch in those mitzvahs today. One of those mitzvahs is the mitzvah of tefillin. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah that when a child is old enough to know how to treat tefillin appropriately, not to take tefillin to the bathroom, etc., then they should really be trained to wear tefillin. Not all that different from we train them to wear tzitzis, and we train them to sit in the sukkah, we train them to come to shul to daven. Why don't we train the little boys, when they're, I don't know, 9, 10, 11 years old, to wear tefillin? So according to the strict reading of the Gemara, we in fact should, and nevertheless, in Shulchan Aruch it tells us that we don't. Why is that? Because we're concerned that we don't want to give the wrong message when it comes to tefillin as well. Because tefillin is such a mitzvah of kedusha, a mitzvah of sanctity, that a person has to be in the right frame of mind all the time when one's wearing tefillin. Therefore, to train our little boys to put on tefillin when they're 9, 10, 11 years old, when, I can just imagine, it's hard enough to get up to sit in shul just for a few minutes without tefillin on. Imagine, close your eyes and think for a minute, your 9-year-old putting on tefillin and sitting in shul, you're probably going to end up giving him a mixed message. He's going to walk away with the feeling, well, we can kind of do whatever we want. We can walk around, we can, you know, dray around, schmooze around with that tefillin on, and that's probably the incorrect message to give. So again, in the realm of chinuch, we try very hard to balance. On the one hand, yes, we want to encourage them to get into doing mitzvahs. On the other hand, we don't want them to get off on the wrong foot. We don't want them to start to think that that the mitzvahs are done in an incorrect fashion. This is something, it's this delicate balance that's very important when it comes to a particular aspect of chinuch, which is sometimes controversial, and different shuls have different positions on this, and that's concerning at what age is it appropriate to bring children to davening. So here also, we have to walk a very, very fine line. On the one hand, we want to encourage the children to daven, to come to shul, that's a beautiful thing. On the other hand, a child is not ready. If a child is not ready, then the message that we're sending, maybe unintentionally, but the message that we're sending is that, well, this is what davening means. Davening means we come, we sit down, we eat one bag of potato chips, and then another bag of potato chips, and then another chocolate, and then we walk around, and then we come back, and then we schmooze, and then we play game. And sometimes we feel good about ourselves, but we were mechanech our children to come to shul. But the great question is, well, what exactly were you mechanech your children in? Did you give them the proper message of what tefillah is or not? Now again, it's a delicate balance. We don't want to wait until they're old enough, till they really, really 100% appreciate it. We have to wait till they're 120 years old, so we're not sure exactly at what age is the right. So I am not going to be the one to give you the correct answer to that question, although a couple of years ago, I did give a shiur about once you bring a child to shul. I think out of all my shiurim and Yud Torah, that may have gotten the most hits. I didn't say I got the most compliments, I got the most hits in terms of what the correct age is. So I think that each parent has to use these two factors in terms of chinuch. On the one hand, we want to encourage. On the other hand, we don't want to create a scenario where they're learning the wrong messages about mitzvah performance. So up until now, we've been focusing primarily on mitzvah saseh, on positive acts of chinuch, but chinuch carries over into the realm of prohibitions as well. That we have to be careful to train our children to refrain from things that they shouldn't be doing. Shabbos, kashrus, lashon hara, whatever isurim that we're dealing with are, children have to be trained not to violate averus as well. At what age does that become appropriate? So here, the poskim say, the age is sometimes a little bit earlier. When it comes to a mitzvah saseh, to a positive mitzvah, so that involves an action, that involves knowing how to put on tzitzis, knowing how to shake a lulav, how to say kriya shma, how to daven. Those are somewhat complicated lessons. It takes a few years. When it comes to isurim, refraining from doing things that you're prohibited, as soon as they understand the meaning of one very, very simple word, the word no. Once they understand no, this is osur, you're not allowed to do this, that's already considered to be higia l'chinuch for the realm of isurim. Now the question is, at what age does that happen? Well, some of my kids are still waiting for that age. Those ones over by mitzvah already. So once a child understands that this is something you don't do, even though, do they understand the whole picture why? Do they have an intricate understanding as to why you're not allowed to turn a light on Shabbos? They have no idea why. But as long as they know the magic word is, it's muktzah, which of course we know from Hilchos Shabbos has absolutely nothing to do with why you can't turn on a light. I remember once I was learning with a young boy, and I asked him, why are you not allowed to write on Shabbos? Well, the correct answer was, it's a malacha, and the malachas are derived from the Mishkan. So the child responded, well, you can't write on Shabbos because the pencil is muktzah. So I said, no, let's go backwards. You can't write on Shabbos because the Torah said you're not allowed to write on Shabbos. Now, since you're not allowed to write on Shabbos, you're not allowed to pick up a pencil, because we're afraid if you pick up a pencil, you're going to end up writing with a pencil. So that cause and effect of muktzah. Muktzah malacha is a very, very hard category to reach. But the child doesn't have to be, fluent in the intricacies of Hilchos Shabbos. Tachlis, little boy, little girl knows, don't turn on the light. So that's already the age of chinuch. I'm supposed to make sure, to the best of my ability, that they don't violate Hilchos Shabbos by doing actions that are prohibited, or eating non-kosher food, or speaking Lashon Hara, or any other kinds of activities, both B'dam L'mochem, B'dam L'chavero, once they reach the age that they understand that this is something which is aser. In addition to chinuch, that we are supposed to actively be mechanech our children, there is a whole other area, other dimension of chinuch, where we are not allowed to actively cause our children, or for that matter, anybody else's child, to be chote, to do something which is prohibited by the Torah. This is a common misconception. Many people think that on Shabbos, well, a child's under the age of bar mitzvah, so I'm allowed to ask the child to do something for me on Shabbos that I'm not allowed to do. So this is kind of possible to be further than the truth. This is actually a pasuk in the Aseres Hadibros. The Torah says, Lo sase kamalocha ata ubincha vitecha. You and your son and your daughter are not allowed to do malacha. Who is the son and daughter that the Torah is speaking to? Is the son and daughter over the age of bar bas mitzvah? Clearly not. That's ata. That's who the Torah is speaking to. So who is the ata ubincha vitecha? It's talking to the little children. what the Torah is telling us is that you, as a parent, or even not necessarily as a parent, you are not allowed to cause another Jewish child to do an Avera. So, for example, if I say to the child, please, don't tell anybody about it, please turn on the light, or please carry this for me outside the Erev, or even out of the realm of Hilchos Shabbos, if I say to the child, could you please eat this non-kosher food? It's okay for you, it's all right for you to eat it, you're under Bas Mitzvah. That is an Issur Min HaTorah. That is prohibited Min HaTorah for me to cause any child to actively violate an Aveir. And here, the Halacha tells us, even if the child is beneath the age of Chinuch, even if the child is literally a baby, if I cause a baby to do a Melach on Shabbos, I cause a baby to eat something that's not kosher, this is clearly prohibited by the Halacha. In fact, there's a very serious question that's raised. The answer is it's Mutter, but the question is a lot of Lomdos. Why is it permitted to feed children on Yom Kippur? Eating on Yom Kippur is a Nisr in the Torah. Why am I allowed to feed a child on Yom Kippur? So some poskim say, you're really not. The only reason why you're allowed to is it's pikuach nefesh. If the child, a little child, is going to fast on Yom Kippur, it may be dangerous to his life, so it's a question of pikuach nefesh. It's life-saving. But if not for that reason, then you're not allowed to feed a child on Yom Kippur. That's what some poskim say. If that would be true, that would be an unbelievable chumrah. The kid comes and bothering you in the middle of mincha and Yom Kippur, I need a lollipop. Pikuach nefesh. Maybe if he bothers you enough, it may become pikuach nefesh for you. Pikuach nefesh. He needs a light. Doesn't need a lollipop. So according to some poskim, the answer is no. You can't have the lollipop. Even a little baby, the 3-year-old, wants the lollipop in Yom Kippur. Stop pikuach nefesh. You can't give it to them. We usually assume not that way. That's the ma'aseh. The minhag ha'olam is not that way. We assume that eating on Yom Kippur somehow is a different type of prohibition than other prohibitions. The eating on Yom Kippur emanates from the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur. It's not like Shabbos. Shabbos is an independent prohibition. Don't do malach on Shabbos. Eating on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur because you're supposed to be fasting on Yom Kippur. The child who is technically under bar mitzvah, under bas mitzvah, is not obligated in the mitzvah saseh of Yom Kippur. So, mela, they're exempt from the prohibition of eating on Yom Kippur. Very, very lumdish understanding. But the bottom line is that with the possible exception of Yom Kippur, all other isurim in the Torah, one is not allowed to actively cause either my child or somebody else's child to violate. Again, so we have chinuch from the vantage point of what am I supposed to actively do to assist my child to do mitzvos? What am I supposed to actively do to prevent my child from doing averos? And then we have a third category of chinuch, which is what am I not allowed to do, which would instruct the child to do an avera? That's considered to be a problem. As I'll speak about, this is called machilo biyadayim. To cause somebody, to actively feed somebody, something which is not kosher, is prohibited min ha-Torah. This becomes a very complicated shaila. It's not really a chinuch per se, but it's a somewhat related topic. When you have an individual who is not chayev in mitzvos, for other technical reasons, they have a person is what we call in halacha, alav bar da'as. It means they're not aware what's going on. They're at a stage where they're not cognizant exactly what's going on. And technically, they're not really obligated in mitzvahs. So halachically, they're, so to speak, in the category like a child. The same way a child is not obligated in mitzvahs, when a person is not really in touch with the world, then they're also technically exempt from mitzvahs. So the question becomes, what is my obligation vis-a-vis such a person? Can I cause such a person to do averos? Can I feed such a person non-kosher food? Can I put such a person in a place where non-kosher food is going to be fed? This becomes a very, very tricky, chinuch-related type of a topic. It's not what this morning's shiurim is about, so we're not going to focus on it too much, but suffice it to say that this is a very, very serious halachic question. When you have somebody who has reached a point where they're no longer a bar das, they're no longer technically on their own, obligated in mitzvahs. So when we speak about the notion of chinuch, we've been focusing primarily on chinuch of our own children. 95% of what we've said today is my child, my son, my daughter, etc. How does chinuch play out in terms of somebody else's child? If I see somebody else's child either not performing mitzvahs like they should, I see somebody else's child doing an avera, what, if any, is my obligation to step up? Am I obligated in chinuch to somebody else's child? Was chinuch something which is really only related to my own child? So this is a fundamental question, a very real question. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, both opinions are quoted. And some opinions in Shulchan Aruch that maintain, if I see somebody else's child violating Shabbos, I am obligated to step up and to say something. I'm obligated to try to stop them if I can, in a nice way, or I'm obligated to go try to find the parents if I can. And other opinions maintain, no, it's not my responsibility. My responsibility of chinuch, my primary responsibility of chinuch, is towards my own child. Somebody else's child, Their parents will take care of them, hopefully. What does this issue depend upon? So it's really a very lumdish question. It's really a basic, fundamental question as to what is chinuch all about. Is chinuch primarily a chovas ha'av ha'aim? Is it primarily an obligation on a parent? We know that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kedushin, there are many obligations that a father primarily has towards his child. For example, the father has to make sure the child has a bris, and has to make sure that the child has a pidyon haben, and make sure the child gets married, and make sure the child has a parnosa, teach him Torah. There are a lot of things. One opinion of the Gemara, you have to teach a child how to swim. It was considered to be significant. So there are a whole series of different obligations that a parent has towards a child. So everything we've been talking about up to now may very well fall into that category of halacha. I have an obligation to make sure my child davens, and to make sure my child benches, and to make sure my child keeps Shabbos, and doesn't eat treif, and doesn't lie, and doesn't embarrass his friend, and doesn't beat up his sibling. That's all part of my mitzvah. I lumped everything together, the easy ones and the hard ones. I have a mitzvah of chinuch, but it's primarily a parent-child obligation. Or no, that's not really what chinuch is. Chinuch is that the halacha wants that the child should already get into the routine of things. As we said, when we start off the shiur, if you wait till 13, you wait till 12, it's going to be very, very hard to start at that point. So the halacha wants that the child should already get into the swing of things. So since the halacha wants the child to get into the swing of things, it's understood that the adult should try to help the child do whatever he or she can do. If we take that understanding, that approach of chinuch, that chinuch is not so much parent-oriented, but chinuch is more child-oriented, the goal is not so much that I should train, that I should be involved, that I should actively do, but the real goal is on the child, so then there no longer is a reason to believe that the primary obligation is on the parent. If I see a Jewish child doing something that's not right, I should step up to the plate. I see a Jewish child who's not performing mitzvahs properly. I should do whatever I can in order to facilitate that. So that's a question in the halacha, in the poskim, somewhat of an unresolved question. Again, this is obviously under circumstances where one can do it in a way that doesn't become more difficult than other means. Every time I walk around, it's hard enough for me to stop my own children from doing aveiros on Shabbos. Imagine if I walked around telling every other child. So again, it becomes a balance, somewhat of a juggling act, to try to, on the one hand, encourage whoever we can to do mitzvahs properly. On the other hand, not to get the fights with everybody, that's also not a good idea. But again, from the pure vantage point of the mitzvah of chinuch, there's a conceptual question with a practical difference as to what the goal of chinuch is. Chinuch primarily parent-child oriented, or is chinuch something which really crosses, in a sense, party lines? When we speak about chinuch, we'll be spending a lot of time talking about the intricacies of chinuch, the whens of chinuch, and hows of chinuch, and the whos of chinuch, and the whats of chinuch. I think there's one critical message of chinuch that's very hard to speak about chinuch and not to talk about this. So we're kind of using it as the machshava part. This really could be a topic in and of itself. And that's something that we find, I think, a very fundamental insight about the very essence of chinuch. We find from one of the brachas that we recite every single day. One of the first brachas we recite in the morning is Birchas HaTorah. Before we start to learn in the morning, so we recite a bracha. We actually recite a whole series of brachas. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosu b'tzivanu lasuk b'divrei Torah. We praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the opportunity to learn Torah. Beautiful bracha, very simple, straightforward bracha. Not all that different from brachas that we recite on other mitzvahs. Then we conclude that bracha with Asher bochar b'anu mikol ha'amim. We praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the wonderful institution of Torah. Again, not a surprising bracha. That's the bracha we recite when we get an aliyah. It's a bracha that's associated with learning Torah. I understand that bracha also. And then there's a middle bracha in there that's very hard to understand. V'harev na Hashem Elokeinu as divrei sarasta b'fidu v'yesek Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we should enjoy learning Torah. I'm all for enjoying learning Torah, but it's a very, very strange bracha. When we shake a lulav, we don't ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, please Hashem, let me have a great time what I'm doing. When we bench left on Friday night, we don't say, please Hashem, let me really, really get a geschmack out of these candles. You make a bracha, you do a mitzvah and finish, and hopefully you enjoy the mitzvah. To incorporate into the bracha itself a harav Hashem lokein was a very, very strange thing. Just in case this bracha wasn't strange enough, we conclude the bracha by saying, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help our children be lomdei Torah, b'tzetzeinu, our children, our grandchildren. Some say b'tzetzeit, depends how many generations they're still asking you for tuition for grandparents, great-grandparents, advias goel. But we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for a lot of hatzlacha with our children. Again, it's a beautiful tefillah. I'm all for davening for our children to be successful in learning Torah. But it's also a very strange thing to be said at this point. I'm about to start learning Daf Yomi in the morning. I'm starting my Mishnah Berurah. I'm starting my Ma'aseh Seder for the day. And I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, by the way, my children should be Tamid Chachamim and I should enjoy what I'm doing. Again, they're both beautiful things. They're important themes. But I don't quite understand what they're doing at this stage in our davening. And I don't understand the connection between the two. What's the connection between our tefillos for our children and our asking, our requesting that we enjoy our Torah? And I think what Chazal are telling us is a very profound lesson. When we begin doing mitzvahs, we're starting off our day, primary mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we have to know that we're not only doing mitzvahs for ourselves. Every mitzvah that we do, starting with our learning, with our davening, with the Ben Alam Ben Alam Chavero, is ultimately going to be a lesson of chinuch. Our children learn significantly more from watching what we do and what we don't do than from all the lessons that we speak about. Any teacher, anyone in chinuch knows this, you can talk from today till tomorrow. If you do and act in a different way, the message that you're going to give are going to be lost. What we ask at Kadosh Baruch Hu is that we want to be matzliach in tzetzeinu v'tzetzeam chabeis Yisrael. We want our children, our grandchildren, our descendants to be lomdei Torah and shomer mitzvos. It starts with us. The greatest lesson that we can give chinuch to our children is if they watch us doing mitzvahs. And how should they see us? How should they perceive us as doing mitzvahs? That's the second half of the bracha. V'harev na'ashem lokeinu. We ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it should be enjoyable. If our children see us doing mitzvahs, but they see us grunting, they see us kvetching, everything is a complaint. Oh, Shabbos, oh, kosher food so expensive. Oh, who wants to go learn Torah now? Davening is so long. Can't wait till the rabbi finishes the drasha. If the children hear those messages, then all of chinuch becomes a bracha levatola. If chinuch is perceived by the child, if Aravodas Hashem is perceived as the harav nashim lakenu, then we have a fighting chance. Then with the prophecy at the Shema, we have a chance that our children will be so the real lesson of chinuch, if we walk away with the who's and the what's and the why's and the when's, they're all important, and the details, the intricacies of the halach of chinuch are important, but perhaps the most important message to walk away with the day that was dedicated to chinuch is that real chinuch begins with us. If we act in certain manners, and we refrain from certain things, and we do certain things, and we do it with a smile, we do it mitach simcha, then we hope and pray HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept our tefillos, and our children will follow in our footsteps. In the words of chinuch that were fulfilled about Avraham Avinu, that his children, v'shamru derech Hashem, last tzachah mishpat, will be fulfilled for all of our children as well.